today we're looking at the promise given to the generous giver, those who give generously to God and those who give generously to needy people all around us. It really brings the blessing of God upon us. We begin with a very short review. Our text has been concerning tithes. I've heard all my life, well, tithing is in the Old Testament, it's not in the New Testament. Well, that's wrong. 1 Corinthians 9:13 says, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? You see, the ministers in the temple receive their income from tithes and offerings. Verse 14, it says, in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What's the same way? Tithes and offerings. So Paul says the Lord has commanded that the New Testament church be financed the same way as the Old Testament temple. The New Testament church is to be financed with tithes and offerings. Today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Shifting gears. Give, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Who said that? Some modern day crooked preacher who's trying to get your money? Or is that Jesus Christ? He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. That is God's principle. That's the principle of generosity. If you're generous, then God will be generous through people to you. God does use people to bless us financially. Somebody say amen. I've never shaken a tree and had money to fall out of it. How about you? If you have a tree like that, I want to know where it is. But I have discovered if I'll obey God with the money I have, he has some way of blessing me through other people. Somebody say amen. Might even be a boss. It might be a company. But God has a way to bless if we obey him with the money we have. You see, this is not some modern-day preacher, evangelist, trying to milk your money out of you or trying to bait you to give. This is Jesus Christ. Amen. The problem is that some preachers have made special promises like give God $10 and he'll give you $1,000. Now, that becomes very manipulative. People trying to get money out of people. I'm telling you right now, that's not godly. It's not of God. But it's still true, given it shall be given unto you. Just because some preacher has abused or someone else has abused, it doesn't mean it's not true. Amen. Somebody say amen. And we use people sometimes who have abused their authority, abused the word of God, as an excuse not to obey God ourselves. That's not going to work on judgment day. You're not going to be able to say, well, this crook caused me to doubt God. God's going to say, but you had it in the Bible. Why didn't you believe the Bible? You see, only God can make a promise like that. God gave me a promise that I would, if I would give him my last $100, while I was in seminary, I told this story the other day, but it fits right here. He said that I would not have any more financial problems. I needed that $100, and it took a lot of faith to melt that away. And I'd worked my way through college and seminary. I was in my last year. I'd never run out of money, but I ran out of money. And I only had a few more weeks to go. And Lord says, if you'll mail that $100, he was teaching me a principle of generosity. I knew about tithes, but I didn't know about giving and receiving. And so he said, if you'll give that. And I mailed it away, not because somebody manipulated me, but because the Lord told me. That's what I believe and what I preach. I don't let preachers or anyone else twist my arm to try to get money. I give when God says give. Somebody say amen. Amen. Tithes and offerings belongs to God. But when it comes to your generosity part above your tithes, you need to hear from God yourself. If not, somebody manipulates you out of your money. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, when I get a word like that, I need to back it up with Scripture. Give and it shall be given unto you. So this has been one of my main scriptures my whole life. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosoms. Amen. Amen. You see, this is my main scripture along with others that I'll give you today. This has been proven to be true over and over in my life and so many people here in the church. You see, gimmicks preachers use do not work on me. No matter what kind of gimmick you come up with, I'm not going to respond to it. I'm going to respond to the voice of the Lord. And if you want to be blessed, you need to do the same thing. I pray and obey. So I mailed that $100 away, and I just drove over to the church. I worked there part-time. They were paying me $25 a week. And so I don't know why I went, but that was a long time ago. And so the pastor called me in his office. He said, "Barry, come in, I'll talk to you." And I went in. He said, "Do you need more money?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I'm doubling your pay today." Amen. What if I hadn't obeyed God with that $100? So you hear and obey. Paul says, if we sow abundantly, we will reap abundantly. If we sow generously, we'll reap generously. And that's exactly what it means. So today we want to focus on giving and receiving, or sowing and reaping. I grew up on a farm. I helped my daddy farm. We grew everything just about you could think of. We had cotton. We had corn. We had beans. We had tomatoes. We grew sweet potatoes. We grew peanuts by the millions. Can you say amen? Amen. And we had our own cows and beef that we grew, and the pork, the pigs, the swine. Can you say amen? Amen. We did it all. And I learned, if you're going to have a harvest, you have to sow some seed. That's just the way it is. And then when you bring in the harvest, if it's a good harvest, you'll have more seed so you can plant even more next time. And very often, that's the way giving works, sowing and reaping. And I'll show you that here in the Bible. Now, I'm not trying to manipulate you out of everything. I'm blessed and doing fantastic. Look at this fancy suit I got on. Can you say amen? And if you want a hillbilly preacher that dressed like a hobo every Sunday, this is not the right place. Can you say amen? God called me to be a preacher. It's the highest office in the land, and I'm going to dress like it. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I don't criticize anybody else, but I'm right. If you want to be successful, generosity is a key. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Here again, you obey God, you don't let somebody manipulate you. Not even people. There's people who make their living just sponging off of churches. We've had people just come in through here. "I need help. Back next week. I need help." Why don't you get a job? Why don't you get a job? The next week. And finally, we just have to cut them off. If you look, go get a job, man. We have to work. You have to work. And I've had people say, "Well, you're supposed to help me carry my burdens." Yes, and you're supposed to help me carry mine too. Right. Carry one another's burdens. I'm not supposed to carry you the whole time. Can you say amen? Amen. Get a job. Go to work, and God will bless you. It's amazing how much God blesses people who work hard. Philippians 4:15. Listen, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, in other words, he says, the first gospel you ever heard came from me, okay? And these had been pagan people. He says that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. Notice he says giving and receiving. Growing up, I heard a lot of preachers preaching on giving, but never on receiving. But just think, it's like the farmer. If you sow and don't reap, you're out of business. If you sow money into people, into God's work, God will bless you so you can keep giving. It's called giving and receiving. And I have lived that and practiced that. I've never done it one time to get anything. I give because I love God, love people. But the Word of God is still the Word of God. And I know if I obey the Word of God, He's going to bless me because the Word of God says He will. And He has, and He will. Verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." He said, I'm not just trying to get your money. I'm trying to get you blessed. But a part of being blessed is giving and receiving. That's what he says. And it helps if we know what the Word says. I can give in confidence if I know it's in the Word of God. I could give that $100 away because I knew giving shall be given unto you. And I knew I heard from God. The faith comes from Scripture. Amen. This should build your faith because it's in the Word of God. You see, this is what I'm doing today. I'm not trying to get your money. Recently, I've already got $90,000 out of you. Well, God did it, could you say, amen? And of course, Mendota gave a big part of that ourselves, and the board members all gave a big part. We're on a mission to God. We're in this together. Can you say amen? But if you don't know this, you'll never really be blessed, because you've got to be generous. And the way the world thinks is you get all you can and can all you get. God's kingdom doesn't work that way. Paul says, I am not seeking your money, but I am seeking your financial increase. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, and an acceptable sacrifice well-pleasing to God. He says, I have abundance. He says, well, Paul didn't have anything. He says, I have abundance. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give in your bosoms. He said, I have an abundance because you've been sending me all kind of stuff here into prison. Amen. He's locked up in prison, but God is meeting every need he has, just like he promised. Amen. And Paul's the one that wrote this. Can you say amen? Amen. And then it says, sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Sometimes we give, God says give, and it's sacrificial. Giving that $100, I can give thousands now, and it's not a big problem because kids are grown and house paid off and all this stuff. Okay. But then to give $100, man, it was a sacrifice. It was scary. Right, man. Can you say amen? Amen? Giving can be a sacrifice, but it is pleasing to God. Amen. And it was pleasing to God that I gave that $100. And within a few hours, I had my pay doubled. And I was able to make it through the end of the year. Verse 19, it says, and my God, if you participate in giving and receiving, a lot of people claim this and don't qualify because they haven't been giving. Listen, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, our God will supply all our needs when we participate with him in giving. You have to obey God with the money you have. People, well, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to God. No, you wouldn't. And God knows you wouldn't. If you won't give him a dime out of a dollar, you're not going to give him $1 million. I mean, how do you know God is not dumb? If you're not obeying God with the dollar you have, he's smart enough to know you're not going to obey him if you had $1 million. So Paul says, give, giving and receiving, because he knew the giver would receive. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through 9, which I just read, is a package deal. You don't get verse 19 without doing verses 15 through 18. Can you say amen? No church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you only. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the credit which increases to your account, giving and receiving, and my God will supply all your needs. Amen. When you obey God with the dollar you have. Amen. And I didn't make this up, and I'm not trying to get you money. I'm not going to take another offering. You say amen. But this is the way I have learned to live. Not bragging or complaining, it's just the Bible. I try to live by the Bible. And that's why a lot of people call my preaching a success seminar. Some people call it a success seminar because these things produce success in your life. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Many years ago, we were still at Ramada Inn, and we were selling bonds to bank. Back then, you couldn't borrow money. Church wouldn't. A bank wouldn't loan a church money because they afraid if they had to foreclose on a church, the people would hate them. So they wouldn't loan money to churches, so we had to sell bonds. Well, Don and I saved up $3,000. I don't know exactly how. We didn't even have a church. It just got taken care of us. We had people in the Ramada Inn, but we didn't have a building and didn't have any property. And so somehow we saved up $3,000, and I said, I'm going to take that $3,000 and buy church bonds. That way I'm helping the church. The Lord spoke to me and says, no, I want you to give me that $3,000. I said, what? I want you to give me that $3,000. I said, well, okay. Are y'all paying attention? Yes. You hear and obey. Amen. And so I did. Of course, Dottie's always agreement. I never have to worry about Dottie. She's always on board. Can you say amen? And so she knows how God blesses. And so we gave that $3,000. And almost immediately, I had another $3,000. And I don't even know how I got that money to save my life. It just started coming from every direction. And so then I was able to buy $3,000 worth of bonds. And over a good period of years, that increased $18,000. So I had $6,000. I bought it in the kids, and I had $6,000 each for each of the kids. 3 times 6 used to be 18. The new math and all, I don't know, but is that still right? Okay. God gave me the 3 and then turned it to 18,000. Now, you can sit there and laugh at me and doubt, so he just, anything you want to call me, you have to work hard if you come up with anything new. Okay. I've been called everything there's to be called. And I don't know why, because I'm perfect. So it's not a gimmick, it's obedience. Amen. You obey God. And so I gave that $3,000. I thought, well, there went that $3,000. And then God gave me $3,000 and multiplied it to $18,000. That is a great success principle. Amen. Generosity, obeying God, the money you have. No, let anybody manipulate you out of anything, but let obey God. That's right. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Paul is taking an offering. Here's what he says. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He's talking about in the offering plate, in the offering bag, or on the Visa card, however you give. He says, remember this. Now notice he says remember. So they already knew it. But he said, remember how God blesses those who are generous. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. In verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsions. Do not give because somebody is trying to force you to give. Is this not right? That's what he says. If you give generously, you'll be blessed generously, but don't give because somebody's putting pressure on you. Now, God can put pressure on you, but no one else. And God, am I right on this? Amen. Yeah, you know I am. Well, look at me. I'm taking credit for the Bible. It's not me that's right. It's the Bible that's right. Can you say amen? And God is able to make all grace abound. What's grace? God's provision. God is able to make all provision abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And Paul is sitting in prison saying, I have an abundance. God will provide no matter what your situation is if you'll serve him and obey him like St. Paul did. Paul says, if we give generously, we will reap generously. God is able to make all grace abound to you so your business will be more successful than you ever dreamed. No promises except God said he would bless you, period. If we finance God's work, he will take care of our work. God loves a generous giver. God blesses a generous giver also. You say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Word of God says, give generously to the needy, and the Lord will bless you in all your work. So this doesn't just apply to giving to missionaries and evangelists, needy people. Well, we just started the food pantry. Rick and Diane came to my office to see me. I never did know exactly what they came for. But they made mention that they wanted to help feed the poor. And I've been praying for about 2 years that God raised up people to help us start a food pantry. And I said, you're the one. So I jumped on it. They jumped on it. And a couple of weeks ago, they gave away 158 boxes of food to needy people who just read the sign and drove in. Can you say amen? We are to help needy people. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again? He says, when you give to needy people, God will pay you back. Amen. Well, that's just ridiculous. Well, God's ridiculous. You want to go with that? I don't. I'm going to go with what he says. Amen. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. This applies to giving to the food pantry. Amen. You people have been bringing all these canned goods. Expect God to bless you with a lot of canned goods, a lot of stuff. Can you say amen? And a lot of you have been giving a lot of money to this pantry. Johnny, God spoke to her and told her to do this fundraiser dinner. And she charged $15 for adults, $9 for kids. And people go over and eat, and they very often give her a lot more than $15 because it's a fundraiser. She's raised about $16,000 in that fundraiser. And all you people that have been participating in feeding these needy people, God's going to reward you for that. Why? Because he said he would. Said he'd pay you back. And I think we need to pay attention. And when we receive special blessings, we need to thank God for it. If you don't, now, I don't give to get, but when God does bless me in a big way, I try to remember every now and then at least to say thank you. Matthew 6:3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is. Oh, well, if you give, you can't ever tell anybody. No, he's talking about do not give just to be seen of men. In one place, he actually says that. You don't give to be seen of men, to brag about how much you gave. It's okay to tell people what you gave and how God blessed you, to give a testimony, but you don't give to impress people. Amen. Can you say amen? If I give to impress people, I'm not going to get a reward. But if I give for the right reasons and God's blessed me and I don't tell you about it, then I'm not being right toward God, because I need to give him credit. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not do to be seen of men. Do not give to be seen of men. Verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So when you give, it says he will reward you. How many are going to lie against God and say he doesn't do that? He does do that. And some of the billionaires in the world, if you'll check them out, they're very generous. They give millions and millions and millions of dollars to people all over this world. And even though many of them are not even saved, God blesses them because it's a principle. It's God's success principle. Amen. Give for the right reason. You see, our Father will reward those who give to the needy person, to the needy missionary, to the needy church, to the needy evangelist. Jesus says, give to the needy and you will be blessed. You will be rewarded by your Father. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. Some people, they give a dollar and they expect 10. That's where some of these preachers have really messed people up. You give a dollar and you don't get 10 back. You get all discouraged, depressed, but it didn't work. Hey, you're not supposed to do it that way. You give because you love God and love people, and you let God worry about keeping his promise. Galatians 6:9, let him not lose heart in doing good, giving and helping people. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Do not become discouraged if everything's not working just the way you think it should. Just obey God and continue to obey God. Amen. You see verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Doing good to all people sometimes involves money. Sometimes it involves giving of your love and your compassion and your tender kindness and just being wonderful and nice to people. If you want all those things coming back on you, you gotta love people, bless people, encourage people, love on people. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, I went to church and no one was friendly. Well, how many people were you friendly with? This is about giving and receiving. Amen. A good handshake is giving. Can you say amen? Well, how many think we should all share our verses? Clean your hands. Can you say, we got the sanitizer back there. Clean your hands and show a little friendship. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? See, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we're to do good to all people, including church people. Yes. Why? Because we will reap a harvest in due time. The Lord does not want us to get discouraged. Well, I've been serving God and giving and nothing is working. Hang on. He's faithful. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. If there is a poor man among you, your brothers. Now, if a guy just a bum and won't work, that's a different ballgame. There's another scripture that says, if a man will not work, do not feed him. Well, that's cruel. No, it's not. It's God. That's his way. Amen. He expects us to work. Somebody say amen. Amen. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. This is way back there in the Old Testament law. This has been a principle of God from the beginning. Verse 10, give generously to him and do so without grudging, without a grudging heart. When I give to people, I give to people and never think anything about it again. Some people give and they expect the people they give to be the ones who give back to them. No, 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 no. Or give to people, they expect them to be nice. No, no, no. You give and let that thing go. Over the years, I've discovered the people I help the most very often is the first one to get me in the back. So you can't expect people you bless to bless you back. Because very often they will not. And so you can't be grudging when they don't. Well, I gave him $100 and he just gave me a hard time. Well, you gave for the wrong reason. Give to bless people and to bless God. It doesn't matter what they do. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hands to. If what? If you help that poor man. If there is a poor man among you, among your brothers, in any of the towns of the land, do not be hard-fisted, hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Give generously to him so and do so without grudging that because of this, then because of this, your God will bless you in all your work. When you're generous, he says he'll bless your work, your job, your career. Amen. That is a great success principle. And it works. Can you say? Amen. Say something. I said say something. Something. Thank you, Jesus. You like crazy people in the right place. Greed can keep a person from success. You see that? God will bless you in all your work if you will be generous. Moses says, give to the needy. This is Moses here. And you will be blessed. Give to the needy and you'll be blessed. This does not mean you let people take advantage of you. Well, you're supposed to help me. Well, you're supposed to go get a job. Somebody say amen. You can help them one, two, three times, but then after that, hey, get to work. Now, well, I can't find a job. It's okay. We'll give you a job. Come on, go to work. I can't do that. I'm busy. Busy doing what? Bumming off of people? You see, God makes big promises to the giver. Rich man, rich young ruler, remember that guy? Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. This rich young ruler, when the Lord told him, give everything you have away and come follow me, he went away sorrowful. He wouldn't do it. It's in Christian tradition that he later did do it, and God greatly blessed him, and he became one of the leaders in the church. But I don't know that for a fact. I'm not that old. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. I want you to look at this. This is important stuff. Peter says, we have given up everything for you. So Jesus answered and said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father, mother or wife for children. Our children, our lands, for my sake. There's no one who has not giving up anything for my sake, and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, in the age to come, eternal life. He says, if you give up anything for me, you'll be blessed back in this life. We talk about the disciples. They were greatly blessed until it was their time to go. Can you say amen? And I'm being greatly blessed. Many people in the church being greatly blessed, but the clock's going to run out. Can you say amen? We all got an appointed time to die. And God wants us to be blessed and successful until that time. And the disciples all died as martyrs, but God blessed them, took care of every one of them. Like I said, Paul is sitting in prison. He testified, I have an abundance. Who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, in the age to come, eternal life? Jesus says that anyone who has given up possessions for Christ shall receive a hundredfold now in this life. You don't get your calculator out and start calculating everything up. You leave that to God. And sometimes God's blessings are not financial. And sometimes just avoid an ambulance ride can cost you thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Can you say praise the Lord? So a lot of times he's rewarding us and blessing us and we don't even know it. I don't know how many times I've been taking an ambulance ride if I hadn't been obeying God with my money and obeying God. It says even tithes and offerings, try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so great you'll not be able to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will never know how many times the devourer's been rebuked for my sake. We sat around trying to calculate God? No. You believe God? Do what he tells you to do and let him worry about it. And he doesn't worry. Okay, let's get clear on that. I gave away that $100. Immediately he doubled my pay. Amen. Jesus says that anyone who has given up possessions for Christ will receive a hundredfold now in this life. It cost Dottie and me everything we had to move here. We sold our house and even had to use a part of the equity to start this church. And we have received, I'm telling you, many times over through the issue. It's unbelievable how God has blessed us. You know the story of this house that God gave us. We had bought a brand new house during election. It hadn't been in a year. And God called us to come here. And Daddy was in a beautiful house, brand new baby. Boy, everything was good. The church board met and gave me a big increase in pay there in Lexington, Kentucky. And God says, I want you to go to Knoxville, start over, zero. Yay. And this house, brand new house, and the house we got here, it was okay. It wasn't anything fancy, but we didn't care. And then God gave us a house we lived in for 30 years. We thought that was pretty nice. But God says, if you give anything for me, I'm going to bless you. You can say a hundredfold or bless you beyond your belief. And so 2017, I got a phone call. This guy says, God told me to give you my house. Now, you can doubt all this stuff. It's no skin off my nose. What you believe is your business. But it's my job to tell you what it says. And you're talking about working. It's taken a lot of work, even over the years, to get all this put together. Can you say amen? Amen. And so this house today is appraised close to $1.5 million. What's a hundredfold? That house I had in Lexington was worth about $58,000. Of course, now it'd be worth more. So I don't know how to calculate it. But that's a pretty good, pretty big increase. I didn't plan it, didn't pray for it, didn't even want it. I told God, I said, let's just don't take this. Let's give it back. Or just tell him no. She says, do you want to die? I've never had a nice house. I'm taking his house. So we've been there now, November will be 8 years. Listen, this, if you obey God, have a heart for God, you do it for the right reasons, God will bless you. And I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't tell you that. And over the years, there's been all the criticism, well, this prosperity gospel, they have actually attacked preachers for preaching stuff like this. But a lot of preachers haven't preached it the way I do. They preach it in a manipulative way, trying to manipulate people. But this is the word of God. Amen. I will not back up one inch. Because it has worked in my life. Still works. Can you say amen? And it's more than just financial blessing. God blesses everything. Because you obey God with the money you have. Pastor Barry, get back on track. Okay. Where did I get to? Psalm 41, verse 1. How blessed is he who considers the helpless, the generous man. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. See, these blessings are far beyond financial. Amen. It says the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. Who? He who blesses the helpless. Verse 3, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. This is a healing scripture. If you help people, it says when you're sick, God will keep you from dying. He'll sustain you on your sickbed. And in his illness, you restore him to health. Who? A guy that's generous to the needy people. The benefits are more than money. Those who help the helpless will have great promises. Proverbs 11:24. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly. He's greedy, but comes to poverty. See, this is God's principle. Verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Amen. If you want to be blessed, bless somebody else. Amen. If you want somebody to be friendly and loving to you, seek somebody out before you leave here and tell them how nice they look. Yes. Be honest, find something you like. Can you say amen? Amen? I like your shoes. I like your tie. You know, I like your bald, shiny head. I was something. You see, the one who gives freely gains even more, but the greedy comes to poverty. The New American Standard Updated Version says, the Lord provides for the generous man. Yes. And woman, of course. Here again, we must give as God directs us. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed. Blessed is the man who gives generously. See, over and over, that's through the whole Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. You see, the promises that God will increase your store of seed is a true promise in the Word of God. When you sow a seed, God will cause that seed to produce. And that applies to anything in Christianity, anything you do to help other people, bless other people, anything you do to help God's church, God's evangelists, God's preachers, God's missionaries. God will reward you for doing that because it's his work and he made you a promise. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. I didn't make that up. Verse 11, you will be made rich in everything so that you can be generous on every occasion. You will be made rich in every way. Now, being rich means different things to good different people. I have never wanted to be rich. But I've always wanted enough that I can take care of me and my family and have extra to give people in need. And to me, that's being rich. If you have all your needs met, and God's blessing you and you're comfortable, God's blessing your family, your home, and you have extra money to help other people, you're rich in God's eyes. You're rich in the eyes of the people around you, really. That's people's dream, is to have more than enough so they can bless other people. Most of us don't want to be filthy rich. I don't want to have all these security cameras and everything to protect when people try and get my stuff. Can you say amen? And verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. Listen, so that you can be generous on every occasion. God don't want to bless you so you can strut around and brag about your wealth. He wants to bless you so you can be generous. Amen.